We lost someone this week you may never have heard of. Paul Stephen Miller, a gentle, brilliant, politically astute champion of civil rights. Paul Miller was also a little man, and he would be the first to admit it. Born with achondroplasia, dwarfism, he was a person most people looked down on. But being 4'11", he was always eye level to me, sitting in my wheelchair. Paul was my friend. His kids played with my kids. Our family spent long, happy weekends together years ago. His death from cancer at age 49 is devastating. And the last thing he would want me to do this morning is mawkishly dissolve into tears describing what he leaves behind. Miller served in both the Clinton and Obama administrations as a hugely influential advisor on disability law and policy. For years, he was a commissioner at the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. As a graduate of Harvard Law, he couldn't get a job. He was just too strange-looking, apparently, for the buttoned-up world of corporate litigation. In an odd bit of staggeringly good judgment, though, it was Washington that discovered his brilliance and gave him a chance, and he took it, becoming one of the most important voices in disability rights and preserving the rights of the disabled as the technology of genetic testing was emerging. You can hear his caution in a discussion where he faces down some doctors touting the brave new world of genetics.
You know, I think that when you're talking about a child and somebody else who ultimately, and this information following somebody sort of along through their life and having a huge impact, both in the sort of the child rearing and otherwise, I think we ought to really take some pause in terms of whether we want to know whether somebody has a predisposition for which there is no treatment. I'd be curious to know why parents would want to know that.
Miller argued caution, knowing that a genetic test might have caused the decision that he never would have been born, or that his deaf wife, Jennifer, might be genetically weeded out in some future world where the deaf were seen as an avoidable problem, not a vibrant living culture. He fought for and was a champion in the passage of the 2008 Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act. What your genes tell a doctor can't ever be used against you. Thank Paul Miller for that. You can hear Miller's bravery right here. Can we ever be sure about the quality of life, he asked? Even when we are so afraid of cancer. I mean, what if we could predict the possibility of someone getting cancer?
The way that I think about it is that in thinking about genetics and genetic prevention through sort of using these reproductive technologies, one thing that's important to keep in mind is that we're really, for the most part, talking about adult onset disease or later onset disease, and that there are all sorts of different variables. And so when a physician and a parent is sitting there talking about their child about some cancer that may happen when they're 30, 35, 40, they're just thinking about this baby and how they want to protect this baby. And yet, in some ways, we might be overprotective because, in a sense, somebody who lives to the age of 40 before they get cancer, many people would say that's a pretty good life.
A pretty good life? Paul Miller suffered bitterly from cancer in his 40s and never made it to 50. He said goodbye to his two daughters earlier this year and to his friends a few weeks ago. A pretty good life? The little Professor Miller managed to best that by a long shot. A giant in every way.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.